Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval, terms apply.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Bear with me, friends.
This reminds me of The Sims music.
All right. We're live. We're officially live. And this time, no kid at school to be picked up. It's nothing stopping us. We could chit-chat for as long as we want. So thank you for joining us as we welcome you to the MMA Fighting UFC Vegas 14 post-fight show. I am Mike Heck. No fancy Fedor sweater tonight, but happy to be joined by the rest of the horsemen. Jose Youngs is here. E. Casey Lydon is here. A.K. Lee will be joining us, but he's not here quite yet. But
they're coward. Coward! Show your face, A.K. Where are you, Candy Lee?
I don't know what's funnier, that image or the image of Shorty Torres's empty chair during Between the Lengths. Just amazing stuff. But we promised yesterday during the shortened preview show that we would make it up to you. So we're going to answer a lot of questions tonight, but we're going to talk about the main event first. Let's talk about Rafael Dos Anjos. He got me all sorts of fired up with his walkout song, walking out to Kumite from the movie Bloodsport, A+ entrance song, taking on Paul Felder, who replaced Islam Makhachev on just 5 days' notice. The fight was grueling. It was fun. Both guys brought it. RDA was super impressive when the action went to the cage walls. And in the end, former champ gets back in the win column with a split decision, which is just ridiculous. I'm sorry. I love Paul Felder, but to score that fight for him is just absolutely ridiculous. But Jose, thoughts on that main event? RDA's return to 155 and a very successful one at that.
It looked like Rafael Dos Anjos had been in a full fight camp and Paul Felder had not walked into an MMA gym in what, 4 months, 4 weeks, whatever he said. So Paul Felder looked great offensively, especially in the early rounds. Like, he looked real crisp, looked quick and everything. But that just goes to show you that he's been doing kickboxing Muay Thai so long that it's not hard for him to just get off the couch and get in a fight. But his defense just wasn't there. Like, he was getting hit a lot. He was getting tagged a lot with the end of RDA's strikes, and he couldn't stop the takedown. And he was holding his own on the ground, but his timing just wasn't there defensively. Offensively, it looks like he hadn't missed a beat, but I just don't think the timing was there to try and avoid any damage coming his way. But it is what it is. He took the fight on 5 days' notice, so don't hold it against him. It's pretty much, I thought RDA might get a finish at some point in the later rounds, especially if you took him down with one of those arm triangles, arm chokes that he's put so many fighters away with. But Paul Felder held him off, survived, lost. Should be a unanimous decision. I had it 5-0 RDA. I can see the argument for 4-1 Felder, but no, there's no way in the world Paul Felder won three of those rounds. I think even Paul Felder looked surprised when they read the scorecard. So yeah, RDA 5-0 on my scorecards.
Yeah, it was just one of those fights. Like, Felder had his moments. It looked like maybe the first and second round were kind of close, but then RDA just kind of took over with his just that grueling, you know, game plan that he always brings to the table. He looked fantastic tonight. Casey, you were on the preview show yesterday and you predicted that this main event would be, quote, a 5-round snoozer. You could not have watched this fight tonight and thought, oh man, this fight sucks. Like, the fight was great, was it not? But all kidding aside, what did you think of it now that it's over?
I said a 5-round snoozer in the sense that it's going to be I thought it was going to be a dominant win, much like, I thought it was going to be a RDA versus Anthony Pettis type performance, which I feel it pretty much was. It wasn't a snoozer. It was definitely fight of the night. It was actually more exciting than I thought it was going to be, but I felt if RDA wanted just to 100% use that wrestling, it could have been a snoozer. But I think RDA wanted, I think he wanted an action fight and he got one, but I think he also is a very smart fighter and he realized, oh, if I do this all stand up, yeah, maybe Mr. Felder. But I think if I use my wrestling, use my all that training I used to train for Islam, it was just a smart move by Mr. Dos Anjos. And look who we have here. Hold on. We have someone calling in right now. Who is this?
It's my best friend. Hey, buddy.
Oh, thought I'd didn't think you'd have it set up. Thought I had to go through the. What's going on, everybody?
Yeah, well, welcome to the live post fight show.
Oh, exciting!
Okay, well, yeah. back what I was saying. What was the question? No, it wasn't a snooze fest, but I think Jose actually said it. It looked like RDA on a full camp versus a very, very good striker with no camp who was training for a triathlon.
AK, welcome. Welcome. And you were looking at this fight. I believe it was like almost like a similar comparison to like the Robert Whittaker versus Jared Cannonier fight. Like there seemed to be sort of like a, you felt there's like kind of like a blatant disrespect towards RDA. But this is one of those like, don't you know who I am type of performances from Rafael Dos Anjos. Like you said on this here channel that RDA heading into this fight, despite not being in this division over the last 4 years, was a top five lightweight in the world. Do you feel vindicated right now after tonight?
Of course I do. You guys all, Casey.
Me?
What? Casey laughed at me. Laughed at me when I said he was still top five. I said I'd put him above Daniel Hooker. I said that's for me is like the kind of top five, top six. And I said I put RDA up there. Yeah, he looked great. I think Casey's right as well. Yeah, it's literally what he described. It was a very highly trained, well prepared fighter versus a guy who just admitted post fight that Paul Felder said that he hadn't been in an MMA gym in 4 months. And frankly, he didn't look that bad. I mean, if you heard Bisping on commentary, he was definitely bigging up his boy a lot. But yeah, there was a lot of truth in that. He actually did. He did look strong at moments tonight, especially in the stand-up, of course. Grappling was a whole other story. This is something we discussed on pre-fight show, right? Where it's when you're facing someone like RDA, it's not just about being in shape. It's his skill set is so diverse that if you're not drilling a lot of the things that he's strong at, not just the wrestling, but RDA kept catching him with that straight left hand. I mean, that's something that, again, you would pick up on in training and you would drill, not getting caught by that. Little things like that. And you only have 25 minutes to adapt. And I thought Felder did a great job for what it was. But that grappling of RDA is on a whole other level. So yeah, I stand by it. I think he'll see a number back next to his name again this week when the rankings come out. And I think it'll be number five.
Jose, Paul Felder had a great speech during his post-fight interview. He basically called out the fighters who missed weight, saying that, you know, I haven't been in an MMA gym in 4 months. I still got on the scale. It sucked, but I got to 156. I did my job. And then I went in there and fought five rounds. But the more importantly than anything, he said that I'm not going anywhere. I'm still going to fight. Are you surprised by this? Because it seemed like a lot of people felt this is going to be the swan song, win or lose for Paul Felder. And it seems that that is not the case.
Well, I think I said it on the preview show. If he did lose, I think it would be a matter of how he would lose would determine if he sticks around or not. If he goes five rounds and it's a close fight, or if he looks any sort of competitive and doesn't get finished, he'll probably come back just because he is the type of competitor that he is. But the fact if he had just gone out there and what happened to Chaos Williams' opponent happened to Paul Felder, you probably wouldn't be fighting again just because it was like a litmus test for himself to see if he could hang in there. He lasted all five rounds. So no, it doesn't surprise me that he wants to come back. He's was super fired up. He didn't look like you said, like we all said, 5 days notice. And he was actually competitive against a former champion. So no, I'm not even remotely surprised that Paul Felder's coming back. There's with the addition of Michael Chandler in the division, Paul Felder, now, I don't want to say coming out of retirement, but confirming that he's not heading off into the sunset. Lightweight, just I know everyone talks about bantamweight, women's strawweight, men's welterweight, and all this stuff. But I have been saying the lightweight division is the best division in the UFC. And I just think that these additions to the top 10 just reaffirms it in my mind.
Well said. AK, we're going to save our fight predictions for onto the next one. But Casey, if you are the UFC, if you are the one with the book right now, what do you do next with RDA after tonight's victory?
Markachev. It's like that guy still. I mean, is he still? I mean, we don't know how it was a staff. They said staff infection. Was that what it was? Wasn't the Rona, right? Staff infection. So
yeah,
which also could be a week. It could be 6 months. I mean, guys have staff infections can be really bad. So we just don't know. Assuming Makhachev isn't available. It's actually that's the thing of RDA. Like that's always kind of been the problem of RDA. There's no real storyline with him. It's just like, yeah, it's like he's good and he's a high level fighter. So I think any fight's really good. I can't Hooker. I don't know anyone. It's like I don't think there's really a particular. Oh, I gotta see RDA fight this guy. That's kind of maybe that's actually kind of a problem as far as like the UFC building him. Like, there's no like urgency to see RDA fight a certain guy, to me at least. That was a very non-answer for you.
Well, I think just I'm going to base mine off of process of elimination. So I'm assuming Poirier and Connor are going to fight in January. I'm assuming Tony and Chandler are going to fight either December, January, February, whatever you want. So process by elimination, and I'm assuming he's not going to fight Khabib. Because he already lost him, he's not anywhere near a title. I wouldn't mind Rafael dos Anjos versus Justin Gaethje. I think that's an absolutely awesome scrap for both men. I mean, Gaethje has had beef with Paul Felder in the past. If Paul Felder had won, I think that's the fight I would have wanted the most. So in my mind, I'm just going to replace him with Rafael dos Anjos or the Dan Hooker fight. That's an awesome fight. The Charles Oliveira fight's an awesome fight. Again, Rafael dos Anjos, because when he left the lightweight division, yes, there were a lot of these guys in the top 10, top 5. But right now, I think it's the best it's been in a long time in terms of competitiveness. Anyone in that top 5 outside of Khabib, if he does retire, could be the champion. So my answer would be Gaethje or Hooker. But selfishly, I would want the Justin Gaethje fight because that's just a violent scrap between two guys who just continuously move forward.
I like it. I like it. It's definitely something to think about. The bonuses for the night have come out. Fight of the night, Rafael dos Anjos versus Paul Felder. I don't think anybody's really surprised by that. But if you're Kay Hansen and Corey McKenna, you're probably like, oh, you got to be kidding me right now. And then the performances of the night, pretty obvious. Chaos Williams is getting one of those 50G bonuses. And then Sean Strickland with a wonderful performance against a really tough guy in Brendan Allen. He gets it done. He gets an extra 50 Gs, two wins over a 14-day stretch for him. So a pretty good night. So at this point, I mean, we talked about the main event, but we owe the listeners some time. We owe the listeners some questions after yesterday because we were kind of pressed to press for time. So let's go to the peeps. Let's go to the peeps to see what they have to say. We can talk this car. We can talk a potpourri of different MMA topics.
This message comes from Apple Card. Earn up to 3% daily cash back on every purchase every day. Then grow it at 4.50% annual percentage yield when you open a savings account with Apple Card. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card subject to credit approval. Savings available to Apple Card owners subject to eligibility. Savings accounts provided by Goldman Sachs Bank USA. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
While Casey digs this up, I just want to say, like you said, Mike, we'll wait till our show the next couple of days to do our official like who should he fight next. But I do think one thing that makes it so difficult for him is that he is willing to fight anyone. I mean, he has that reputation. So I think it was a lot of people. I think Luke Thomas, one of them, was tweeting out like sort of, oh, here's the last like 10 guys that RDA is fighting. It's an insane list of people for someone to fight and like not. And I mean, he's got title shots in there, so it's not like he was only getting tough competition and not being rewarded for it. He's been rewarded accordingly, but yeah, he's just fought a murderer's row his entire career. He hasn't had an easy fight in forever. And he'll fight anyone, and the UFC knows that. So, unfortunately, that kind of makes it difficult to fantasy matchmake because he won't say no.
Am I the only, Andrew Nally asks, am I the only one who thinks Chaos Williams versus Nico Price would be crazy? Of course that would be crazy, right? what do you think about that? What do you think about that, Jose?
Only one.
I like the fight as a fight, but I think like Nico is at that point where he should be fighting. Like he just fought Donald Cerrone, he just fought Vicente Luque. Like I really like Chaos Williams as a fighter a lot, and I like Nico Price a lot. There are just other names I would choose Chaos Williams to fight first before he gets Nico Price. Like, again, but if they make that fight, I'm not going to complain. That fight is awesome. I just think it might be a step back in terms of name value for Nico Price. And then, yeah, I know he Chaos Williams is the big guy right now, and we joked that he should be the Hamza, and he could be the fighter of the year if he gets one more, and fine. But he's not that right now. There's a lot of what ifs. Like, could he?
I'm already interested. Why is it Dana selling him like that? Yeah.
Because it's Dana White. It's at 8:15 p.m. Arizona time. That is not what Chaos Williams is. I would like to see Chaos Williams fight Lizette Meneer. Is that his name? I can't ever pronounce his name. I would like to see that fight, considering they're the last two guys to beat Abdul. I can't pronounce this guy's name either.
Razak.
They're the last two guys to beat Razak. I know Sean Brady broke his nose, so I wanted that fight, but that fight's not going to happen. The Bilal Muhammad fight I like too, just so if you want to slot him in against Bilal Muhammad or Michelle Pereira. I know Alex always wants to bring him up. Any of those fights I'm down for, but Nico Price, I think it would be a step back in terms of name value, but I like the Lizette fight, considering they're both coming off really impressive wins over the same opponent. And Lizette was supposed to fight on the Fight Island card before he was pulled for testing positive for COVID. So if they are going back to Fight Island in January, February, March, and Lizette wants to stay on that card, I think that's a fight that I would be very interested in.
It's interesting. Yeah, we were talking before we hit record about, you know, comparing Chaos to Khamzat, because I mean Khamzat has to be brought up on all of these shows at least once. But I mean, look, just look at the resume right now. Done. Look at the UFC resume. Chaos Williams has fought twice in a total of 57 seconds, and he's knocked out Alex Morano, who just had, I believe, his 11th or 12th UFC appearance. Who just
beat the guy that Khamzat beat. So naturally he's getting the welterweight title shot.
Move over, Leon Edwards. You're back. You're unranked again. You're unranked, Leon Edwards. You're out.
Maybe. Hey, listen. Like, you know, there is a lockdown in the UK right now. You never know. Maybe they thrust chaos into that spot. I don't think it's going to happen.
Is there such a thing as a non-crazy Nico Price fight? Like, you kind of Price. I'm just looking at it's like it's kind of hasn't had a non-crazy fight in like ever. I'm looking at his entire career. I don't think he's had a non-crazy fight. Nico Price fights start at crazy, and then you work. I mean, you have the potential to work back from there. Usually, they start at crazy and escalate from crazy. So chaos, would be perfect. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better matchup. So Andrew Nally, you are correct. You're wrong. You're not the only one. I'm pretty sure all of us are thinking Nico Price versus Chaos Williams or anyone is a crazy fight.
That would be a crazy fight. RDA versus Chandler, similar size and good first test for Michael Chandler. Jose, what do you think about RDA versus Michael Chandler possibility?
I love that fight. I absolutely love that fight. I just don't think – I think Michael Chandler is going to fight Tony Ferguson, considering Michael Chandler wants a big name. And he wants to fight Tony Ferguson. And Tony Ferguson, it's like any time the UFC can get Tony Ferguson – into the octagon and any sort of happy is a win, because it seems like him and the UFC are always at odds. So if Tony Ferguson is asking for Michael Chandler, I imagine that's what the UFC is going to do. But say Michael Chandler or say Tony Ferguson gets hurt or whatever, trips on another cord, and Rafael Dos Anjos decides to back up his own words and say, I'm always ready, I'll fight, and they throw in RDA versus Michael Chandler, I'm not going to complain.
I like the matchup. I just wish... You know, I mean, good on RDA for calling out Chandler, trying to be opportunistic. 100%. There's nothing wrong with that. We knew that wasn't going to happen.
No,
you got to do what you got to do.
Exactly. Planting the seeds for down. Like I said, if Tony Ferguson can't make it, because we all know Tony Ferguson, there's no guarantee he's going to make it into the octagon if he signs a contract. So if RDA stays ready and backs up his words and he goes, look, you turned me down because you weren't going to be ready, but now I'm ready to fight you on short notice. Like, and Michael Chandler can't turn that down after that, at that point. So he's already in camp and all that. So if RDA is going to be on standby for a possible Michael Chandler fight, awesome. I'm all in.
Do you think the UFC wants that fight though?
I don't know. I think at this point, it's hard to say, but I don't know. If Michael Chandler gets a main event and they need someone to fight, I don't know where. Fight Island or the co-main. I'm assuming it's going to be five rounds or a co-main event. What lightweight would be ready to go? I don't think Dan Hooker is going to get to the United States if it's in the United States. because he's, I don't think he wants to go through all that again on short notice. Charles Oliveira, maybe, but is he in Brazil too? So I don't know. This, I'm just doing process by elimination. Yeah, RDA had his whole camp in Brazil too. So if it's the next man up, so be it. But if Dos Anjos is the next highest ranked person available and Michael Chandler really wants to fight on the specific date he signed for, I think the UFC would be fine with it. But again, who knows with the UFC?
Yeah, I mean, I would like to see the fight. I don't think it's going to happen. I'm with you. I mean, the UFC has been promotionally pushing Michael Chandler pretty hard. I mean, he got his own promotional package. He got his own interview at UFC 254. I mean, I know he's the backup fighter and all that stuff. So maybe they're just like giving him some props for that. But I mean, this is a big deal. They think Chandler's a big deal signing for them. So I think it will end up being the Ferguson fight. Ferguson made that video that you could see on MMAfighting.com calling out Chandler for December 12th. And after losing two main events, you still get a really good title fight between Aljamain Sterling or Piotr Jan and Aljamain Sterling, champion first, pal. But you throw that as a co-main event. That's awesome. You're getting a bunch of pay-per-view buys for that one. That's a good little appetizer for the title fight. AK, your thoughts on all of this?
RDA Chandler would be a hell of a consolation prize to some of the other, you know, Chandler matchups that have been out there. 4 years ago, I mean, this would have been a dream fight, right? I think, you know, that's when RDA was champion, right? He's coming to the end of his championship run. And Chandler was, in the middle of one of his championship runs. So that's really the beauty of MMA, isn't it? And kind of also what keeps the UFC, why they're number one, you know, for all of its many flaws, is that they can still produce matchups like this, which even 4 years later, I think you put those two down on paper. Again, it's maybe not the top fight that Chandler would want right now, but man, Chandler and RDA, you're getting a lot of fan interest there. Yeah, maybe not a main event, probably a fight night main event if you want to roll that out. But otherwise, yeah, really high profile pay-per-view co-main event. Man, that's a fun fight. So yeah, I'm all for it. Two good suggestions so far. Well done, comments. Well done.
Zero chance.
I might steal some of these.
Zero chance. Zero chance it happens. Zero chance.
Zero. Minus injuries
or people right. popping for the Rona. Right. But yeah. Outside of an official signed full camp fight, zero chance.
It won't be the original booking. As well. Yeah. There's no chance that it's the original booking. Yeah.
There's no chance that's the fight they try to make. This is only going to come down. Yeah. It's going to be like a Nate Diaz situation. Yeah. Where he's like, yeah, I'll fight on 11 days notice.
So being MMA, it's like a 98% chance that
it happens. Yeah, so it's definitely happening, man. Okay. It's going to be the main event next week.
If they book Michael Chandler versus Tony Ferguson, the main event we're going to end up getting is Dan Hooker versus Paul Felder. Two replacement fighters.
Yeah.
What's next for Felder, Jose, is the question here.
That's tough, man. That's tough.
Running, swimming, and biking.
If the Gaethje fight wouldn't be bad, if they're both coming off losses and there is some sort of history there, I wouldn't. Obviously, if my absolute first choice would be Edson Barboza to move back up and we get the trilogy fight, but that's not going to happen with Barboza at featherweight now. Charles Oliveira, he's already fought and beat. That's tough, man. I feel like we have to have a lot of these fights play out before we can fantasy match make Paul Felder. Like right now at 8:23 p.m. Arizona time, I don't think there's any clear-cut person for Paul Felder to fight next.
They got Arizona not respecting daylight savings. What's up with that?
Yeah, because we're the 48th state, bro. We were like, we're the last state in the continental United States to be founded. So, of course, we're not going to fall for this skullduggery that is.
What about the farmers? Like, what about the farmers?
Jeez. What about them, Casey? What about them?
You said the time in Arizona with such, like, I don't know. There was a tone I did not like about the way
Ben
you said
Franklin
the time.
Who invented daylight savings time? Ben Franklin, was he the one that proposed it? Kick rocks, Ben Franklin. All
right. The only name that I can see that's unassigned that Felder might consider fighting, if only because he's still got a bit of a name. And I think it'd be a bit of a wait. It'll probably be till next year when we see this guy again. We don't know what Xander is, but Ally Akinta might be the only fight. Again,
I think that would be a fight because I remember Paul Felder giving an interview saying he was like naming a few names that might get him interested. And Al was one of those names.
Yeah.
So that I forgot about Al.
I think he's definitely aiming higher than that. But as far as unassigned name, like people he wouldn't have to wait for, and they could start like talking about it now, or you know, waiting for whenever Iaquinta's. I'm not sure what he's out for, but whenever he's ready to fight again, like you could start those. You know, you could start those talks and negotiations this week, right? And you know, set something for January, February, March. I don't know.
I interviewed Felder right before the first Fight Island trip, and he said that he was offered Al Iaquinta. And he turned it down because it wasn't a big enough fight for him at the time to get him to get him back into it. But maybe now that he seems to be fired up about it. I like that matchup. Spoiler, that's probably going to be my pick for on to the next one, unless maybe I have this epiphany tomorrow morning. But we'll see.
I'm not against a rematch with Charles Oliveira. I think Charles Oliveira is a different fighter now. Not a different fighter, but I think he's a better, more mature fighter. I don't know if Paul would take that.
I would absolutely love that fight, and I know like Oliveira would take it. I was more viewing it as a
I just want to see Charles Oliveira back. I'm tired of like what happened to, I just want to see him back. Yeah, need to see more Charles Oliveira. All right.
Well, Conor McGregor already tweeted after he gets done with Dustin he wants to fight RDA.
Really?
Yeah, he just tweeted. He said, "Dustin first, but I'm down for it all. Throwback to this classic. Look at Dana. Ha ha ha. Vintage MMA entertainment. El Chapo," and it's a photo of him posing like El Chapo.
Oh, there we go.
And that is verbatim what he tweeted.
Fantastic stuff.
Do you guys know what rounds that judge gave to Felder?
Do you have it, AK?
Oh,
I can bring it up. I can pop it up in a second.
Yeah, bring it up. I have to see this ridiculousness.
I'll say it as Casey's pulling up. He gave the middle three, 2, 3, and 4 for Felder.
That's insane.
Okay.
Now let's. All right. Now let's look at the striking numbers.
Three is the weird one. Stop assuming striking numbers. This is MMA, man.
I'm just saying. Numbers. Well, I'll say this: the stats they showed at the screen were apparently not even close to accurate. I think the stats they showed on the screen were like. It was like Felder had like more than like 30 more significant strikes than RDA, which seems impossible.
Michael Bisping were doing those stats. Those were not real stats. That was Michael Bisping stats.
Here are the UFCstats.com stats, which are much more accurate, which you usually put up after. Very, very close to significant strikes. 98 total significant strikes for Felder, 92 for Dos Anjos, and then you add in the takedowns and control time. It's not even close. So. I could see maybe giving a round to Felder. I would have had a 50-45 Dos Anjos, but three rounds by my brother Chris Lee. I mean, my brother's name actually is Chris Lee, by the way, but that he's not an MMA judge, I assure you. But I always joke he's my brother. But yes, Chris Lee, you should be embarrassed. That is a terrible, terrible, terrible score. You have to explain yourself. Sal D'Amato had one of these earlier tonight as well. And you guys should have to explain yourselves before you are allowed to coach to be booked for another fight. That's horrible.
Got him.
So our good friend and Between the Links panelist in the past, Aaron Bronsetter, tweeted out, "Judge Chris Lee, who scored the main event for Paul Felder, has been involved in 10 UFC/Bellator split decisions in 2020 and was the dissenting judge in 7 of those 10.
That's not good.
Yeah, that's
not good.
That's a pattern.
Man, I tweeted that was God. Worse. Yo, that was worse than the 27-26 Yoder. At least that one got the right winner. You know,
dude.
I couldn't believe. I wish I was at this card. I wish I was at this card. So it'd be like Dana.
Dana.
There was a lot going on in the cards tonight. A lot going on in the cards.
I love when I watch boxing events and before the main event happens, they go over the judges and what controversial or significant decisions they've made. I think that's a fantastic thing boxing does, and I've never seen it done in MMA. I don't understand.
Remember when they used to show MMA judges' faces on the broadcast?
Yeah.
Remember they used to introduce them? Like, make that happen. So if I'm out getting a coffee and I see so-and-so judge, I can walk up to him and grab him by the shoulders and be like, what are you looking at? Stop buying coffee and go watch tape, and then I can let him go.
Are any of us against that? We don't need to show their faces, maybe. But I would like a discussion on the judges who are calling, especially the main event. It's like, are people like, no, I don't want to see that. I don't get it. I every time I watch boxing, I think it's wonderful. And
Casey, I know why.
Yeah, I know why. Thank you.
Know why, Casey? Because because it makes too much sense and MMA is a silly sport.
You call it a sport.
Casey, I don't know if you're going to, are you going to bring up a question about the Hansen McKenna fight?
We can just talk about it.
Yeah, it's worth discussing. I didn't think it was a horrible scorecard.
Lead us into it. Tell what happened.
Well, it was a really close fight between two 21-year-old prospects. I actually think it was a better fight than the main event. I actually would have given them the fight of the night with respect to Felder and Dos Anjos. I thought it was a great fight. McKenna won unanimous decision, 29-28. So very close rounds, very close scorecards. And I saw a lot of people right away calling robbery. I did not think so, though I had scored the fight 29-28 for Hansen myself, but it was very close. And MMA decisions, I believe only two media members scored the fight for McKenna. And then the other, I don't know how many it is, 14, something like that. 14 people scored it for Hansen. So there was a lot of dissension there as well. Now the scores, so the stats are interesting here. So Hansen did have more significant strikes, 67 to 57, which is actually a pretty good amount. I think anytime you outstrike someone significantly by double digits, pretty good. Not overwhelming. Total strikes, you go round by round, it makes a difference as well. But total strikes, McKenna 156, Hansen 87. So yes, I mean, when we're counting total strikes, we're counting a lot of pitter-patter, you know, little shots to the body, things like that. But I think when you get outlanded that much, even in total strikes, I don't know if you can make an argument for a robbery. It clearly means that the fighter who won supposed robbery was doing something. So very close fight. I think Hansen won, but certainly not a robbery.
What round was the swing round? Is it round one? Is that the round that people are – round three was pretty clearly
– I think it was all over
the – All three judges gave –
How did the judges score it?
All three judges gave one and two – yeah, I think all three judges gave first and second round to McKenna and gave the third round to – Hansen, which is weird because it seems
totally
like
I'm totally forgetting the fight now. I thought it was the other way.
Let me check this. Hold on.
Right, that's the thing.
Discuss the fight amongst yourselves.
It seems like everybody gave the third round to McKenna.
Yeah, I thought the third round was. I thought the third round was a dominant round. I thought the second round was Hansen. Third round was pretty clear McKenna. I thought it was the first.
I thought first round was definitely Hansen. Took her back, beat her up a little bit on the feet.
I might be forgetting it.
You know. Was third round too?
Was the first round when she got her back when she was just holding her back, and McKenna was just punching her a whole bunch of times, or was that the second round?
That was first round.
So that's why I can see. I get it. I don't agree with it, but I get it because Hansen just held on and got her back, and I was like, "All right, what are you going to do now?" And then she wasn't doing anything for a while, and McKenna was just punching her a whole bunch, and even she, like looking at her, she looked surprised, like, "Why is?" Why is this so easy right now? Why am I punching and she's not blocking or moving to the next step? Because even the commentators were like, I guess that's doing something. Like, I get it. Like, McKenna got to the dominant position and Hansen got to the dominant position and then just like stopped for like 10 seconds. And then McKenna was just like, all right, let's keep punching you until you do something. So I get it, but I don't agree with it. I'm just trying to play devil's advocate.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, Mike, you're right. It was all two judges agreed, scored it the same way. First two rounds for McKenna, last round for Hansen. My beef with as cool as it was with McKenna, like controlling both of and again, this is something Hansen I think is going to kick herself for later. Getting both of her arms controlled by one of McKenna's arms. It was actually really impressive by McKenna, and something again Hansen will probably be upset about when she watched the footage. But those punches she was landing, they were clean, but none of them were more impactful than the knee to the head that Hansen had landed moments earlier. So for me, that knee to the head is really what made the difference in that round and why it should have gone to Hansen. But I don't know. For whatever reason, the judges, I guess they thought those little punches in the ground at the end did more. They were certainly counted in total strikes. I'm pretty sure they were not significant strikes. So that's why I disagree. But again, like we kind of just reasoned, you can kind of see why it happened. So sorry, people, you will not be seeing a robbery review this week. We'll have a very special robbery review. I will have a very special robbery review on Monday for people, a retro one. So I look forward to that. But no, I think McKenna fought a great fight, and Hansen fought a great fight as well. And I don't think either way it could have been too wrong of a call.
More important, who's going to watch Chick Fight, the movie now?
That it never came up again, right? The graphic never came up again.
That was so...
Yeah, because they blew it and introduced it during the women's fight.
It was so weird. It said Chick Fight the whole time. I was like,
that was awkward. And they didn't run the promo for the movie until after, right? If they'd run it before,
Not only did they wait to run it until after, when they were waiting for the judges' scorecards, and they're both standing there just beat up and bloody in the middle. And you know how it says their names at the bottom?
Yeah, yeah.
In the middle of it, you know how it usually says like like Corn Nuts or Monster yep. Energy. It was like Decision, Chick Fight. So if you just turned tuned in, you were probably under the assumption that the UFC was reminding you that two girls just fought.
Yeah, and it's this gaudy, like pink, like bouncy, rectangular graphic. It's one of those neon pink.
It's like one of those movies you order at the grocery store in the red box. You know, it's like
Leslie Smith was not impressed.
She was all over it, and she wasn't wrong. I thought it was somewhat innocuous. Cause I'm like, okay, as long as it comes back through the rest of the night, as long as it's sponsoring all the fights, then fine. It never came up again. Whoops.
That was whoops. I had I had a friend coming over watching the fights, and she doesn't watch fights, and I was just like, I apologize. I was just like, I apologize.
I apologize on behalf of UFC, on behalf of MMA, on behalf of the film, men in general,
the human species. My bad.
So much disappointment.
Sorry.
I scored that fight 30-27 for Hansen.
I know you did, and you were demanding. You were yelling at me on Slack, demanding a robbery review, and I said no.
It cost the judges. Cost me a perfect fight card again.
that's totally
week in a row.
And again, I think you're
second
right.
week in a row.
I do think Hansen won. If I'm being honest, but you should really blame Tanner Boser, not just the judges.
You got to pick who you think is going to play. If I see a fighter I know, like if I see anyone fight Dennis Bermudez, I'm like, Dennis Bermudez is probably going to win, but he's going to lose in the end because that's just, he loses every single split decision, you know? So if I see Dennis Bermudez, he's going to lose a split decision. So that's how you got to, don't pick who you think is going to win an actual fist fight. Cause this isn't Pride. This is the UFC and split decisions never go to the right person unless your name is Rafael Dos Anjos.
No, right. Mike, you've got to be like me and just never even come close to getting a perfect card. That's the problem. It's hurting you too much. You're off by one. Me. When you're off by like three or four every week, you don't care. You're breezy.
You're the new Guillermo Cruz.
My son was like coming up and down and watching like a lot of the fights with me. And at the end, I was like, so what was like your favorite part? What stuck out to you? And he goes, the yellow haired girl had her hair in her face. She needs to get a haircut or something.
Not wrong.
The pink scrungy. I've never seen a fighter at this level not braid their hair or anything. I was like, is she just fighting in a ponytail? I was like, all right.
The one thing he noticed out of everything tonight was that her hair is in her face.
Hanson and McKenna are talents though. Like how messed up is it that they look more advanced than Granger and Yoder. With respect to Granger and Yoder, if you asked me who's been fighting for whatever, for 4 years or who has, twice the amount of experience as two girls, I would have thought it was the other way around. I would have thought that Hanson and McKenna were the more experienced fighters. So very impressive from those two. I hope they get some sort of bonus.
Unfortunately for Yoder and Granger, there's always that one fight on the card. You kind of go, why is that so high on the card?
That was supposed to be.
It wasn't?
Right. It's not their fault that, no, that was one of the cards that was bumped.
No, you can't blame them.
I know I'm blaming them. I'm just, we can't blame them, but I was just wondering, what did they, I don't know. Let's talk about the other chick fight.
Well, we don't want to talk about Kanaka Murata fan number one.
Hell yeah, dude.
Casey, after you.
Wrestling. I am just extremely bummed out that Kanako just looks so normal. Because I don't know if you've seen her on Ryzen. She has big colorful outfits. She wears a singlet. And she just kind of looked like she was just, I don't know, like whatever that fell off the Reebok rack. That's what she was wearing. So I was just bummed we didn't get to see her very unique personality. But
that's what the UFC does. That's what the UFC does. Drains the fire right out of a fighter's personality, right?
Yeah. So, I'm just excited to see another, got a good wrestler in the strawweight division. And I'm worried about her size, though. She is a small strawweight. That's always going to be a bummer. But she got her in her little Hulk arms. That was just great job by her.
Did you see her back muscles when she was going for takedowns? I was like, oh my god.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
It's like she is a beast.
Match up with Tisha Torres at some point. You want to battle the physiques, my goodness. She looked good. And I think Ronda Marcos really, even though it was her originally scheduled opponent, was a really good test for her. I mean, she was dumping some down. She was, you know, afforded to battle on some scrambles and really just kind of show off her Hulk-like strength. Like some of those scrambles, she just went through brute force, you know? Just it was like they would be kind of locked in position for like a second and you just see Mirada just flex and just like, all right, now I'm on top. I'm taking control. So yeah, she was as advertised as far as being an elite wrestler, a really high-level athlete, tough as nails. And you know, and Marcos, I said on like the previous show, I feel like a loss gets her release, even though she took this on short notice and did the OC a favor. I kind of still feel that way. I really do. I don't know how they're going to go with it. They shouldn't. Cruel. Obviously, they shouldn't. I know. Obviously, they shouldn't. But I do feel like the UFC is going this direction where we're seeing that, you know, a lot more young talent being utilized, young, cheaper talent being utilized. So keeping around a veteran like Marcos, who I know she's not exactly making, you know, six figures a fight or whatever. But, you know, if it's a choice between paying her or paying a contender series winner or something like that, someone's going to get cut. And we've seen they've been making some cuts recently. She's a veteran. I think they like her. I just wonder if maybe this was their sign. Well, she now lost three straight for the first time in the UFC where they say maybe they're going to cut ties. I hope not, though. Of course, I hope not. I hope Marcos gets another shot.
And I think
she also took her fight on short notice. I think the last three fights she's taken is on short notice.
Miranda Granger versus Randall Marcos, loser leaves town. That's what I was trying to say.
Oh, we're good.
Miranda Granger's got a win in the UFC.
What?
Miranda Granger's 1-1 in the UFC. That was her first UFC loss. Can't do her like
Miranda
that.
Granger. She's on a 2-4 losing streak.
She has lost two in a row. That is not two.
Oh yeah, you're right. The Hannah Goldie fight was the first one that she won.
Yeah,
that's right. That did lose to Lemos. I thought all of her fights up until that point just kept getting canceled. Yeah, so there you go. Okay, maybe you're right. So what do we do? So what do we do? So what do we do? Murata versus Yoder now? We just like mix and match the two? Winners versus
Murata's way higher than Yoder. I think you give Murata some Murata.
There's the problem is she's so good and the diehards know how good she is. And there's so many fights I want to see her take, but she's not going to get them yet just because she's so new. So she's going to have to work her way up to these fights that I really want to see. Like I would love to see her fight Dern, but that's not going to happen anytime soon. She has to work her way up there. So I don't know off the top of my head who she could fight next.
I know we're not going to see it, but I don't care. I think she's ready. I want to see her versus Esparza. I love wrestler versus wrestler.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's a good fight too.
Two invicted champs. Invicted champs. Respect the belt. Oh yeah, Felice Herring, you're right.
Felice Herring would be a good one because she seems to get the we're going to see how these prospects are going to do. And Felice Herring is Carla Esparza's best friend, so she beats Felice Herring. Not only do you have a wrestler versus wrestler, you got a storyline, and that's what we want.
Hey, boo, boo,
boom! Did your job spoil you?
I want to point out how crazy it is that Yoder almost had the first. She had the first 30-24, I think, in UFC strawweight history against Ciori. And then almost had the first 27-26 today before. Well, I mean, technically did have the first 27-26 before. Thankfully, that mix-up was, you know, people are saying.
Wait, 27-26? What are you talking about? That was the score?
The buffer. That was originally the announced score.
That's what they incorrectly announced.
I didn't even listen to the score. Sorry.
They announced 30-26 Yoder, 29-27 Yoder, and then 27-26 Yoder, which was bizarre. So people are saying it had to be Bruce Buffer's fault, but I mean, he doesn't add up the scores like on the spot, and it could just be he had a total brain fart and did. But
how many times Bruce has he Buffer, done this?
Yeah, Bruce Buffer is normally a pro. Where I think it was it the Woodley Thompson fight maybe where they had like the first one where they had like incorrectly had a decision. He looked at it and he brought it back to the judges table and be like, "This is wrong." So, like, I think they were going to announce that Woodley was the champ, and then he's like, no, this is a majority draw. Like, no, fix that. So, I think Buffer is a pro. I don't think – if he didn't make a mistake, it was complete, like, on-the-fly accident.
Yeah, I feel like
I don't think he did the
– based on what we saw from the judges today – based on what we saw from the judges today, I feel like one of the judges wrote down the wrong score. I'm just saying. I feel like somehow – maybe their handwriting was a little shaky. I'm not sure. But 27-26 would be a huge mistake. But good job, Ashley Yoder, for making history. First 30-24 and first 27-26 in the UFC Strawway division.
a lot of matchmaking ideas tonight. Ryan wants to see Sean Strickland versus Edmund Shabazian.
It's spoiling our show.
I can't answer these questions right now. I can't answer.
We cannot answer these questions right now.
We signed a contract that we have to save our predictions.
We've already breached it several times tonight. We're in trouble. We're in trouble.
I know. We can't give them all away. I would Kobe, say.
What do you think about that,
Jose?
I feel like Shabazzian's what, in the top 15 already, top 11.
He was
Strickland is 2-0.
He was he was in top 10, got whooped up by Brunson, and then
Yeah.
He's been kind of radio silent since then.
Yeah, well, he's been doing a lot with the Armenian war going on right now. He's been kind of marching a lot. Who did Bevan Lewis just lose to?
Trevin Giles.
Make that fight. Giles versus Strickland.
Giles Strickland.
Because Shabazzian's in the top 11. I don't think he wants to fight anyone outside the top 15 right now. And Ian Hines is sitting there at 15. So I don't think that form is enough to get Strickland in the top 15.
Yeah, I'll be honest. Not only does Shabazzian, like you said, he actually has a ranking. I think Strickland is too much for him. Right? From what I've seen from Strickland in the last two fights, I think Strickland's too much for him. Strickland has looked incredible. And I would remind people, he is technically 4-0, competing higher than welterweight. I mean, I would consider tonight essentially a middleweight bout.
How's Strickland look better than Shabazzian?
Israel Adesanya fought Brad Tavares to a 5-round dominant decision, and Edmund Shabazzian put him away in less than 3 minutes.
And even Strickland's last opponent, I forget his name already, the guy he was yelling at the fall.
Like Jack Marshman?
He whooped him.
Shabazzian beat him like in like two blinks.
In like 2 minutes, he beat him.
So you're crazy, AK.
That guy was out for two years.
This is some. Yeah,
and he's just gotten better. Come on,
yeah,
man.
He got better.
He was literally a fetus in that fight. He's a grown man now.
Look, Strickland, I don't know what his grappling's like. Maybe he could have taken Marshman down, submit him. I'm not gonna take anything away from Shabazzian either, because he did it.
It sounds like he did already.
Finished. No, I'm not. But I'm just saying that the three round beating that Strickland put on Marshman was not that much less impressive. He whooped his ass. He just couldn't finish him. But I mean, maybe Marshman's really tough to finish with the striking. I don't know.
Marshman
wasn't that tough for Shabazzian?
Marshman also missed weight going into that fight. So I don't who knows what his weight cut situation was entering that fight. Sure. But he didn't get put away, and he got tapped by Shabazzian in less than 2 minutes.
I think Strickland is real tough. I think Strickland.
He's going to be tough to match for right now.
Man. He's really tough. He's obviously very good. He's obviously very good. So we're done
with freaking him. Who's his last two losses to? Was it Dos Santos and Usman? Like, he's unbelievable. I just don't think he's going to toss him to Shabazzian and favor him right away at a weight class. He's only 2-0 at right now.
He's done with welterweight. Well, I'd say 4-0 counting this one as a middleweight. I count this as a middleweight bout. So he's 4-0.
Because he twice
previously fought a middleweight. But he's probably can't go to 170. I guess. He looks huge. He's huge. I don't think he should try.
Yeah.
He's done. Okay.
Brandon Allen, in my opinion, was like number 16 or 17 in that division heading into.
Yeah, time. I agree.
You have to give him a top 15 guy at some point. So not to spoil the party or anything, but
whoa.
I think the most
contracts, Mike.
I'm just gonna say it.
I will mute you. I will mute you. I have the power.
The guy's coming off a loss, unfortunately, but I still believe he's in the top 15. Omari Akhmedov. I think that's the fight to make.
Sure.
That's it. Sean Strickland? For Strickland?
Yeah, that's the fight.
Cool. Why not?
Unless you give him Chris Weidman. I mean, those are literally the only two options. Or Uriah Hall. And Uriah Hall probably deserves something a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
People, wasn't Akhmedov just supposed to fight
Vittori before catching COVID or something like that? Or was it COVID? Was he injured? So why wouldn't they just rebook Akhmedov and Vittori? Or who's Vittori fighting now? Jacare?
Jacare, sorry. Okay. Weidman doesn't have a fight, right?
Yeah, Weidman does not have a fight.
Hmm? All right. Actually, I want to answer. I don't actually know the answer to this. If someone can catch me up on the news.
All right, what happened to Quinones versus Smolka and Anders versus Ahoyo? I know more about the Smolka situation. Smolka got sick. He got sick today. Some nausea, some vomiting. He just couldn't fight.
He missed weight, correct, on Friday,
yes,
too.
Yes, he missed weight by 3 pounds. Anders missed weight by 1.5 pounds. So both fighters missed weight, and both were the reasons that their fight fell through. Mike mentioned illness for Smolka, and Anders actually was hospitalized. I don't know if Smolka also went to the hospital, but Anders had to go to the hospital. He sent out a message after. He said he's fine, but it sounds like it has something to do with of course, a tough weight cut. Smolka possibly as well, or it's possibly Smolka had an illness, and which is why he couldn't make weight. That I would find believable, because he shouldn't have problems making 135. He used to compete at flyweight, has never had problems making 135 in the past. So I would think that's more of the illness first, and that's why he couldn't make it. And there's, I think, maybe the other way around, but I'm not sure. It could be an excuse for both guys. But yeah, so that's what happened there. One guy illness, one guy hospitalized. And we also had a fight, Safarov, and who is Safarov supposed to fight? Safarov and...
Oh,
my brain is broken.
Were three fights...
Why did I bring this up?
Were three fights lost in the week of?
Marquez was supposed to finally get a fight after two years. And Safarov had weight management issues, according to the UFC. So that's three fights that were canceled, possibly due to weight-cutting issues in the last 48 hours. So extreme weight-cutting, it sucks.
Yeah, and I'm pretty like, weren't all these fights outside the main event essentially short notice fights? I feel like, assuming give them 2 months is a rather, yeah, it's
just, no, I mean, some like Eric Anders was a replacement,
yeah, so short notice, so
he was a short notice replacement,
yeah,
like just, probably 3 weeks.
Casey, I was kind of joking about this with you before earlier this week, like. There's almost no fighters that were going into this card coming off of a win. Murata, I think you said Murata was like the only one. And I thought like, oh, probably someone else besides Murata. And I was looking at my notes. Couple.
Here. Hey, Hansen.
Who else?
Brendan Allen.
She had bit for, correct. Hansen. Brendan Allen. Yeah. McKenna as well had won on a Contender Series. Strickland, of course.
Strickland came in. He was last second too. So I'm talking originally booked.
Booked. Yeah, it was like it's like four people. Yeah, because Al Hassan. Chaos as well. So like four or five fighters with 20 fighters who ended up. Oh no, only 18 ended up fighting. But it's not all about wins and losses. But that sends a weird message to fans, doesn't it? Even the main event was two guys coming off losses.
These are fight nights. That's how it is. You know, these are free. You ain't paying for this.
Got to keep that train moving.
Yep.
We were supposed to get, what other fights are we supposed to get? Benitez versus Justin James, we were supposed to get. Brian Barberina versus Daniel Rodriguez was supposed to be on this card, yeah, too. Where Barberina had emergency surgery. So Rodriguez is going to fight next week now instead.
There were eight changes to this card, according to Topology. Eight changes, and there only ended up being nine fights. So,
hey, that's what happens. Like, the UFC books 15 fights, and every once in a while we have a 15 fight card. But I think, and that's when this whole pandemic card started happening. I wanted the UFC to be much more lenient on more catch weight fights, more just because of crap like this. Because now we have dudes in the hospital. This is just stupid. It's just stupid.
Strickland Allen was perfect. It was perfect. Of course, 195. Yes. Why is there any? I saw at least one or two comments popular on me on Twitter like, oh, too bad this doesn't really count. Strictly like as a middleweight fight because it was a catch. I'm like, why does it not count? It's two guys who are middleweights. Who cares? And then someone else said, well, as long as they're not ranked, I guess I don't care. And I'm like, why does it matter? Weight classes are a fugazi. All right, they're fugazi, okay? I'm sorry. It's I'm not saying they don't matter.
What was that? Say it again.
It's like, what's that? Matthew McConaughey, Wolf of Wall Street. It's fugazi. But it's, yes, of course they matter. I'm being overly flippant here. They matter, you know, because if we didn't have weight classes, then we'd have chaos. But as far as like if two lightweights want to fight at 160 or 165, it's not going to change things in the long run. It's not that different than if they meet at 155. Especially, I shouldn't say it's not that different. It's literally no different, unless you're worried about, oh, well, these guys, if they're going to contend someday, they have to be able to make 155 on the dot. But that's a whole separate issue. And if you just want to see fights happen and you want to see fighters at their best, people, you should encourage as many catch weights as possible. Please tweet, tell Dana why you want more catch weights.
Sorry. Yes. I listen to everybody.
He does. Especially to us.
He does.
In the media.
He does.
Yeah.
He loves on to the next one.
He loves when we suggest things. Obviously, based on some of the matchups.
They love our bantamweight picks.
Damn, a little hat tip would be nice. Well, hat tip would be nice, boys, but it's fine.
This week on The Pitch, would you like fries with that?
People are what make franchises run. The person who knows the business inside and out. Yep. Not someone who came off Wall Street because their check clears. Franchairs is the first investment marketplace where people can invest in franchises.
So you said $800 billion is what this market is a year. And hundreds of businesses are actually franchised businesses.
Thousands.
Thousands and thousands.
There are more brands franchised than there are stocks on the NASDAQ.
Oh.
You're raising a $4 million price round.
And what are the terms on that?
The $19 million post-money valuation.
Oh. Yeah.
And you, do you not think that the valuation is a little frothy?
This week, things get frothy when Kenny Rose brings a new alternative investment class to retail investors. Go right now and subscribe to The Pitch wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right. What else you got?
We guys are lively in the chat for such a lackluster card. Lively.
Have we talked plenty about RDA? We get an RDA, or a lot of RDAs.
So. They all stayed up to watch Crawford box, and they're watching us waiting for a press conference from UFC probably. That's why this UFC card ended so quickly, because they had an ESPN boxing match.
That's what happened. Okay, I forgot. That's pay-per-view.
It's why Ortega Zombie ended so early, because they wanted to get Lomachenko in there.
Man,
God, I love ones. It's so awesome.
Look at MMA still playing second fiddle to boxing.
I think it's an ESPN forever. Thing.
Oh yeah,
inferiority complex.
Yeah.
I see some people asking, is there a press conference? I don't think there's a press conference. It doesn't sound like it.
I don't know.
Really?
Unfortunately, I'm not there.
I think Felder's doing post-fight show stuff now, but not a press conference. I think he's doing like ESPN Plus.
I will text and find out. Whoever loses does it sometimes.
What was that question? Oh, who do you think Islam Makhachev should fight next? From Sam R. We said earlier, just rebook RDA, right?
Is that the fight that makes? Assuming Makhachev is ready to go, you know, in a normal amount of time, you know, say he's normal, he can take another fight in 2 months, which RDA would be good for. Is that do we want to run that back? Is that really the fight to make now, or is have we kind of?
So quick update. No Dana White apparently. Probably just RDA. I text someone on the scene. But we don't have the feed. If people are waiting for us to put the feed up, we don't have it.
It's not going to happen. Just keep waiting.
Just chill with us. Chill with us on here. Come on.
We'll tell you the good stuff.
What did you just say? What did you just say, AK?
I said, chill with us, pretty babies. Chill with us in the chat. We'll take care of you.
You're the man, AK.
Keep going.
Oh, thank you. That's so...
Keep talking, AK, keep talking. Tell us to chill.
Islam Makhachev. Be cool, baby. Islam Makhachev. I can't remember what we said last week on our show, Mike, but I think Alexander Hernandez is an option. Like we said, RDA, I think, is a good option.
Hernandez is the one. I know Hernandez is the one, considering they were supposed to fight in Brooklyn already.
Sure.
From your What the Heck interview with Hernandez, he wants one more in before he fights Thiago Moises. I don't think Islam is going to fight before the end of the year, and I have a feeling Hernandez would rather fight Islam Makhachev than Thiago Moises anyway.
Oh.
So I think that would be the fight that I would want to see, considering they were already matched up to begin with. If they want to give him a bigger matchup, sure. Like, Islam deserves it, but if he just goes... forget it. I'll just fight whoever I want to get in there. I haven't fought in more than a year, so be it. But other than that, the RDA fight wouldn't bother me.
He's got so many options right now, though. He's got so there's Drew Dober, who needs an opponent. Then you have Diego Fajeda, who is ready to step in and fight RDA. So there's an option. There's Benil Dariush. There's an option. So he's got top 15 options with guys that don't have fights right now.
Yeah, it sucks that this happened for Makhachev, that he missed out on this fight. A very winnable fight for him, very winnable high profile fight. But he's not lacking for options. He'll bounce back.
I don't think the lacking of options is the issue. I think is who is going to accept a fight with him. I think RDA was in a position, since he was at welterweight for so long, that he kind of needed that Makhachev fight to get a main event. But like, these other guys, because to me, he seems like one of the hardest guys to match up with, as far as from the matchmakers, like a guy like, oh, I'll fight him because it's going to be advantageous to my career if I beat him. But is this on even ranked? He's like one of the guys that's super good, but not ranked, right?
No, I think he's 12, 11.
Okay, but
Islam Makhachev is 12. The only people below him are Cowboy, Dober, Gillespie, and then Dariush, Kevin Lee, Iaquinta, Fajeda are the only ones above him that don't have a fight matched up. Only Charles Oliveira is sitting at 6, and then Felder's at 7.
I think, unfortunately, for Makhachev, he's going to have to fight another guy probably behind him. Most likely just have to get a big win. I think he just, unfortunately, that main event kind of status that he was going to get isn't going to happen again.
He's in the same position Khabib was a few years ago.
Yeah, pretty much.
Just hard. Like he signed two contracts to fight for the UFC championship against Eddie Alvarez, and he ends up fighting Michael Johnson. Like, it's hard to matchmake him right now.
Yeah.
Dober would be really interesting.
It would. You're going to have to get someone like, remember when Benson, when he fought Khabilov, he thought he was signing to fight Khabib. So he's like, whatever, I just signed to fight Khabilov. And then Dos Anjos asked for Khabib. I know there was like the Tulsa, New Mexico cards. I always get them all confused. He's going to need someone like that. That's just like, I'm not fighting for the title anytime soon. So I'll just fight a big name. And Islam is a big name. He's Khabib's guy. Khabib's obviously going to bring up a lot of eyeballs. He's going to have to get someone that's like, fuck it, I'll fight him to get any sort of big name right now.
Oh my goodness. Jose Young's after dark.
Now I have to put the explicit thing on the podcast network. Thanks,
great.
Kids shouldn't be listening to anything where AK's saying stay with us, pretty babies.
You know what fun I'd really like to see? There's a whole other category for that we need to check off for that talk. I think he's been out with an injury for a while, right? But I'd love to see Islam and Gillespie.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
You have pretty eyes, AK. Yeah,
Kevin Lee would be Kevin Lee. I think Kevin Lee would be a fun fight too, because remember when Kevin Lee was gonna fight, when he beat Gillespie backstage case when we were in Madison Square Garden, someone asked him, someone brought up fighting Islam to Kevin Lee, because Kevin Lee was on this run where he wants to fight everyone in their backyard. Like, he's like, I want to fight Gillespie in New York. I want to fight Charles Oliveira in Brazil. And someone goes, would you fight Islam? He goes, would it be in Russia? And they're like, probably not. He goes, nah. I mean, I want that fight, but only in Russia. I think Kevin Lee has been calling Khabib out for so long that he might view it as a way to get his name on. He's not going to fight Khabib, but it's obviously he can piggyback off of Khabib's fans and just act the fool like he normally does. So I bet Kevin Lee Islam could be a possible fight too.
I was thinking Islam Gillespie.
I love either one. Oh, okay. Either one. But Gillespie hasn't fought since getting his head decapitated by Kevin Lee. So if he wants the guy that's above him, Kevin Lee is sitting at 10, Islam sitting at 12. I think that's a fun fight too.
Did they pull Gillespie from the rankings? Has it been that long? Is he just?
I wonder because he was top there. 10. He wanted the Khabib fight, or at least was working towards the Khabib fight. He's certainly a guy who people said, oh, would be a good stylist matchup for Khabib. That fight obviously is probably never going to happen now. So Islam would really be the next best thing.
Yeah, and Kevin Lee's got I think he had like one ACL tear, and then as he was repairing that one, he tore the other ACL, something crazy like that. More business. Why not Chimaev and Chaos Fireworks? We just talked about this kind of.
That's come up.
Yeah, we talked. I mean, listen. If for some reason Leon Edwards cannot make it because of the second wave of COVID, and he can't get out of the UK, and you need somebody to fill in, I don't know if it's like. I mean, Chimaev is the main event. Like, Chimaev's the A side of any of these conversations. I mean, just the way that it is right now. So, sure, why not? Is Chaos Williams all hype? I don't think he'll have the star power like Khamzat Chimaev. I don't think he's all hype. Look at the guys he's beat. I don't think he's all hype at all. I mean, Alex Morano is no joke, and he knocked him out in 27 seconds. And then Abdul Razak Al-Hassan is no joke either. He's a guy who typically finishes his fights in the first round. He knocks out him in 30 seconds.
Remember he did Nico Price?
I think Chaos Williams is really talented, and I think his next fight is going to be the answer we all need. Because let's not forget, Alex Morono did a whole fight camp preparing for Diego Lima before the last minute switcheroo to Chaos Williams, who was making his UFC debut, if I'm not mistaken. So I can't imagine Alex Morono had any sort of time to prepare or get ready, or had any idea that Chaos Williams hit that hard. And then Abdul Razak, I was coming off a loss, and he probably just wanted to go in guns blazing. He goes in guns blazing anyway, which plays right into Chaos Williams' hands. I really think whoever Chaos Williams fights next is going to be show if Chaos Williams is the real deal or not. Because right now he looks like the real deal, but like me, I still have questions, which means probably a few other people have questions.
I think to me the issue is Chaos Williams isn't sitting at a table next to Dana White watching fights.
Yeah,
that's all it is. If Dana was just like Chaos Williams, oh my god, I'm gonna get his name tattooed on my forehead. He's so good. If he was treating Chaos the same way he was treating Shamaya,
Hamzat,
yeah, we would be talking about him. But I don't think Dana mentioned his name ever.
He shook his hand at the end, but that's about it.
Yeah, and he said that was one of the most vicious knockouts I've ever seen in my bleeping life. That's what he said to him.
And you come to the press conference and you say that, man.
Someone in the chat says Chaos versus Rachmaninoff, and I'm like, I really like that fight, but I don't think it's the time right now.
Nah, that's like, yeah. And that's even more puzzling because Rachmaninoff is like, I mean, he submitted Alex Oliveira in the first round. That is more impressive than anything Khamzat Chimaev has done, if we're being honest. Like the Meerschaert knockout was just ridiculous. It was laughable. Like you're just like, wow. I like that is just unbelievable. Like no one could have expected that to happen. But to submit Alex Oliveira, who missed weight in his UFC debut on short notice like that in the first round, that was probably the most impressive win of all of them, if we're being honest here. So no hype for Rachmaninoff at all.
Address the Chaos. Sorry, guys. I've this whole time I've been looking for a picture of Chaos Williams in the suit he was wearing afterwards, because we're talking about star power. I just Casey, I just sent you the a tweet from our good friend Jessica Crystal Crew. Which has a couple of images. So I don't know if we can get that up there at some point. But he looked fresh. He had drip. What do they say when someone's like redressing really? I wouldn't know because I've never done it, but. When someone dressed really well, they got that drip, right? So certainly looked like a star afterwards. He's certainly dressing like a professional, which not a lot of fighters can say they do when they're just two UFC fights into their career.
I just looked up a list.
He looked good.
I looked up this list of welterweights on the Ranking MMA site. Chaos Williams is sitting at 44 of like the top 50 welterweights right now. There's a few names around him that I wouldn't mind, actually. I hadn't even thought about it. Like Diego Lima, Lyman Good, Max Griffin. Who else? I literally just saw another name that I would be like, Brian Barbarana sitting right underneath him. So there's a lot of great welterweights. I just don't know if you. But these are all names that are getting tested. And I think for me personally, I have questions about him. Just how good he actually is, which means I'm sure other people still do. I think he's awesome. This next fight is going to answer a lot of questions. Randy Brown should be in that conversation too. I think there's a lot of fun fights for him.
Give him Diego Sanchez.
Sure.
Why do you want? No.
If Diego's going to fight,
not. How dare you?
How dare you?
Who beat Matt Brown? Beat Matt Brown in Jacksonville? Miguel Baeza? Oh man.
Yeah.
Sign me up, man.
He's fighting.
Oh, that's right. Fun fights, though.
And I just got to say that punch that Williams landed was spectacular. The way he split, like he anticipated that leg kick. Actually, like, how do you say his opponent's name?
Al-Hassan.
Like, he didn't really make any technical errors. Like, he just split that guard and just hit him right on the chin. Just an incredible punch. Just an incredible punch. Incredible timing.
What about Jake Matthews, the guy that beat Diego Sanchez?
Don't mind that.
Yeah. Don't mind that.
Yeah. Does the Leech have a fight? Is he fighting Dwight Grant? Am I imagining that?
He was scheduled to fight Dwight Grant, I believe. Not gonna look.
Lee, right? But Leeches, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Winner of that. There's a lot of fights for him to take.
Yeah, sure. I think Jake Matthews, I wonder what would probably want to fight someone with a little more of a name at this point.
I don't think so.
I don't think he should object to that matchup if it comes along, but he probably wants more of a name. But look, back to Sandy Pham's original question. No, he's definitely not all hype. Will he have the power of Khamzat? I don't know. I would love to see that fight happen for sure. Because I've been number one on the we're pushing Khamzat too fast train. I think everyone knows this, but obviously there's no stopping it now. Like you guys mentioned, he's chummy with Dana White. He's been saying all the right things. He's traveling, he's wheeling and dealing. And now he's gonna fight with Leon Edwards. So there's really no stopping it now. Maybe if he loses that fight, they dial it back. Somehow I doubt it. That's just not really how the UFC works. They're not sensible like that. And frankly, Edwards is a fight he can win. I don't know if I would pick him, but it's certainly a winnable fight for him. So
Good friend Farah Hanoun is all aboard the Chaos Williams versus Manir Lazaez train.
Ooh.
I'm about it. If I have to pick, that was my initial answer. Like, that's the fight I want to see out of all of them. I think it would test both of them.
The timing for both guys is completely different. Like, Chaos got in on a pay-per-view in front of a capacity crowd in Houston with, like, and with space. Cause, like, I mean, I think some people knew, like, this pandemic could create some chaos. Most people didn't buy into it. And then Khamzat jumps on Fight Island in this unique, crazy circumstance and gets a quick finish in a dominant fashion. Like, if Chaos Williams fought Alex Morano in July on Fight Island, he might be in a totally different position right now. He might have fought 2 weeks later and got another knockout. And then we're talking about Chaos Williams instead. So just, you know, it was a reintroduction, so to speak. But if you're Chaos Williams, you want to get your ass back in that octagon ASAP. Like, if something comes up, they call you and say, hey, we got a 170 fight on December 5th or December 12th or December 19th. You best believe you're signing that contract and you're closing out the year in a big way. Like, you have to do it. That's why if for some reason, if they offer him Bilal, you jump on that thing with both feet. And even if you lose, great. You got some momentum. You're taking a risky fight against a guy who probably should be in the top 15 with Bilal Muhammad. So he needs to get back. He needs to get one more in at the end of the year is what I'm trying to say.
The Bilal fight makes the most sense.
Check well there in a
spot. Yeah, that'd be, I mean, it's perfect. Bilal needs an opponent. Chaos got some hype. Jump on it. Oh, Jessica. Hi guys. Okay, so maybe he didn't win, but I told y'all Paul wouldn't get finished. Who said? Yeah,
Jose and Casey. She told you guys.
Yeah, I said it. I said my exact phrasing was: if there's going to be a finish, it'll probably come in the later rounds, and I would assume Rafael dos Anjos gets some sort of arm choke like he normally does, like the Magny and the Kevin Lee thing. My pick wasn't Paul Felder gets finished. I said if there's going to be a finish, this is the most logical path to a finish.
That was still kind of friendly, Jessica. I think she was on Twitter and said she had cracked open an alcoholic beverage, so watch out, be forewarned. That was still a pretty nice comment, though.
She at least said hi, guys, first before trying to rip us.
What's up, dog?
But no, Mike and I had both said, Mike and I definitely both said decision. We have the topology picks graphic to prove it.
Yeah.
We always flash out as evidence.
I said a poo-poo snooze fest. Decision win for RDA, so I win.
Oh, wow. That one fight of the night, brother. No, I really think that I really thought the McKenna Hansen fight was a little bit better, though it was just really great to see. I mean, you just Felder's effort was just incredible. You know, it was hard to ignore the storyline, right? If you knew the storyline, it was definitely hard to look past that and not factor that into the action.
Well, how about the fact that the UFC let a 12-year-old fight in McKenna? Oh my God.
She's 21 years old, but my goodness.
And her post-fight interview, I was like, good Lord, she looks so young.
Yeah.
McKenna was way better than I thought she was going to be. Like, I thought McKenna had a lot of talent, and I thought like it would take her some time to get there, but man, she impressed me tonight. Like, she's somebody to get really excited about, no doubt about
it. She got in a lot of precarious, she was in a lot of precarious situations that I know a lot of the narrative with Hansen was like, I'm a veteran in this game at 21. McKenna was in a lot of precarious situations that a lot of people a lot older than her and a lot more experience probably would have fallen to. So yeah, McKenna looked awesome tonight.
Oh, we I was way off on McKenna. I called this a showcase fight for Hansen in the preview show. Mm. I was like, oh, this is just
I was going through Twitter and like she was getting in a lot of these like submissions, like she was stuck in submissions and all this. Like this grappling stuff, and one of the I can't remember who tweeted. One of the fighters was like, because McKenna trains at Alpha Male with Faber, because Uriah Faber was in her corner.
Sorry.
He's like, I feel like McKenna has been in all of these situations with everyone at Alpha Male. Like all the chokes are like rear naked chokes and guillotines and all these crazy things. Like, and they're all her size over at Alpha Male. So it's like I feel like she's been in a choke or two in Alpha Male when she's been training.
Okay, sure. An important question that hasn't been brought up: what do we think of Paul Felder's mustache? I hope it stays.
Great. Phenomenal. 10 out of 10, good. 10 out of 10, good time.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
If I had a mustache.
That's why he had the performance. Yeah, that's why he got the performance.
Did McKenna
have a mustache? Nope.
No, remember, she's going to work on that.
Remember when Angela was on, she was like, yeah, the afro definitely absorbs some of the damage. I'm just saying.
Mustache. Has to.
I'm just saying.
He looked like he should have played for the Red Sox in 1987. That's exactly what
it when everyone was doing cocaine and acid and going out and pitching.
Red oil can boy everywhere.
Yeah, actually, yeah. Now that you mention it, yes, he looks exactly like
oil can boy, just going out there, just seeing things that aren't there, and still pitching great games.
Looking like Jody Reed out there.
Shout out to Oil Can Boyd. One time he stole my seat at a Celtics game, and I had to kindly remind him, and he did not want to hear it.
Wow. Oh, I'm glad somebody brought this up. Thoughts of UFC 255 fight card next Saturday. Mm-hmm. I think
I'll be there.
Like, Jose will be there. Listen, here's what I want to say, and I think I spoke about this maybe last week or 2 weeks ago. I know when you see flyweights at the top of the card, you poo-poo it a little bit. It's not Connor. It's not heavyweights. If you are a fan of the sport, like if this is like the first year you got into it because there's a pandemic and you're looking at this pay-per-view and you're like, oh, I don't know any of these guys. Like, I don't care. You drop the money on this because the matchups are awesome. Like that title fight, Figueiredo versus Perez, is really, really good. Valentina Shevchenko is one of the best fighters in the world, male or female. She should be main eventing this card, if we're being honest.
There you go.
She should be the main event.
Yes.
She's fighting Jennifer Maia. She's probably going to win. She's probably going to do something pretty ridiculous that we're going to be talking about after the fight on the post-fight show. Probably get a million questions about it. Then you have Shogun Hua versus Paul Craig, which is just going to be barrels of fun.
That's a fun fight.
You got Kaitlyn Chookagian versus Cynthia Calvillo.
A very important fight.
Yep. Yeah. Mike Perry and Tim Means. I'll tell you the fight I am most excited about. Brandon Moreno versus Brandon Royval is outstanding. It is
The loser changes his name to Brendan.
Ooh, wow. Wow. Those are high stakes. Those are very high stakes.
That will be that is the best fight on the card, in my opinion.
Joaquin Buckley's on this.
Buckley and
Joaquin Buckley.
Yeah. Beverly Hills Ninja.
Against Jordan Wright. Kyle Daukaus is back after that crazy fight with Brendan Allen that he took on like 48 hours notice and almost won. Jared Gooden makes his UFC debut against Alan Joban, the very handsome Alan Joban. Nicholas Dalby versus Daniel Rodriguez is on this card. It's a good card.
Daniel Rodriguez is low-key one of the most intimidating men I've ever met. Like, just how he carries himself and looks. And then you speak to him, and he's like the nicest cat in the world.
Antonina versus Ariane Lipsky is on this card.
I know they weren't going to bump Shogun Paul Craig from the main card. That's fine. Shogun's a veteran. He deserves it. He's a name. Mike Perry, Tim Means, should not be on the main card. They should have bumped that off.
Yep.
Mike Perry shouldn't even be fighting. Okay, screw this guy, first of all. He's a loser. But I would have put the Moreno-Royval fight on the main card. I would have put this a real, real flyweight showcase, which again, I know the words flyweight showcase to some fans and probably to some people in the UFC. Probably makes their skin just burn at the thought of it. But we got to get past this weird stereotype that I still see it. Like, flyweights are boring. Some people still think women's strawweights are boring, which again, we just saw a great fight between two 21-year-olds today. Like, did we not just have like Joanna Jacek and like Zhang Weili? Was that not just the best fight of the year? Like, what are we doing when we're criticizing either women's MMA in general or the flyweight division, which flyweight has produced the best fights of the year? Like,
people find the weirdest thing. Like, people were complaining about Pitbull winning. Like, people calling Pitbull. Like, MMA fans just need to like realize. Yeah, go ahead.
What's the last like super memorable? And it could be wrong. It could have happened last week, and I'm just forgetting because my memory is terrible. But like, super memorable back and forth heavyweight fight. Am I forgetting some like really, really good back and forth heavyweight fight we had this year?
Don't even talk about it. Talk about tonight's card. What was the most forgettable fight on the whole freaking card? Yeah. The most forgettable fight. I watched that and I go, I forgot about it. Let's go on. And
you would never hear someone say, oh, we should get rid of heavyweights. You would never hear that. And I wouldn't say it.
I say that.
I think it's a silly thing to say. And it's just as dumb to say they should get rid of flyweights. Okay. So I'm not speaking to our readers and our viewers right now, because our viewers right now, people who stick with us in these post fight shows, are usually pretty smart. So you guys, again, I thank you always for watching. I know I'm not yelling at you guys. This is, tell your friends, tell your less educated friends, tell any Twitter trolls, people on social media you haven't come across that say this crap. You can blame me, okay? You can blame me for this take. But I'm so tired of people thinking heavyweight or light heavyweight is like better than straw weight, men's flyweight. Like, no, that is absurd, okay? And I really wish that UFC would send a message next week and Yeah, look, I know a lot of people wouldn't buy it, but four flyweight fights on the main card. Should have been four flyweight fights on the main card.
I wish they would have bumped up Royval or Brandon on Brand to the main event. Yes. Or not main event, main card. I wish they would have moved Shogun and Paul Craig to December 19th and flipped Manel Cave to Pantoja to the main card. So it would have been three men's flyweights, two women's flyweights, and it would have been an actual flyweight showcase in the card.
To be fair,
oh boy,
the original plan was Manel Cave versus Askar Askarov. That was in discussions. It was very close to being done. In fact, I think it was done at one point, but for some reason Askarov couldn't make it, so Cape got bumped back to the Pantoja fight. But I know the Askarov fight was very close to being done on this same card, so it just didn't happen.
Either way, this card does look good. Yeah. Bout order aside, this card does look really good.
Yeah. I will tell you one man who is completely okay with it being on the prelims, Brandon Royval. And Brandon Royval is so fired up and happy about this that he even said, quote, "No one's going to watch the freaking pay-per-view anyway. So me and Moreno technically are the main event." That's what he said. And then he kind of caught himself. He goes, "Because I'm going to get fired now, but buy the pay-per-view. Buy the pay-per-view, please."
way to sell your own weight division, Mr. Royval.
A lot of guys say
also,
that.
Also, just a reminder, I talked about it on A-Side, I believe, or Between the Links, or one of the shows we've done. This is ESPN2 prelims, not ESPN. ESPN2.
Yeah,
so if people can't find it, that's where it is.
Yeah, this ESPN2. If you want to see sweet, sweet Brandon on Brandon action, you got to go ESPN2.
ESPN Plus is
also on ESPN. Plus.
So but yeah.
I don't like the way you say that, AK.
What, sweet, sweet Brandon on Brandon action?
Yeah, I love Lewis.
Is it the eye contact? Is it because I'm looking right at your eyes when I say it? Is that part of what bothers you?
I don't know. Are we going back to Zoom? Oh God!
Sweet, sweet Brandon on Brandon action.
I feel like we should have the saxophone of Careless Whisper in the background if we do that.
We really going to have a good card. We're really going to have to work off some of those boxes on the monetization section this time.
It really hurt that Garbrandt's off the card because they just I get the casuals needed that name on the guy they've seen before. And unfortunately, we know Alex Perez is a badass, but has he been a featured fight ever?
Formica was that? No, that was a prelim, right?
Yeah, like, I can't even remember him being a main. He's never been a main or co-main.
And the UFC's going to wonder, why are people not interested in him? It's like, you know, showcase him. He was on the main card, January 25th show, ESPN Plus show.
Was that the Blades Dos Santos card?
You are correct, sir.
I think, he fought Espinoza. But then everyone else above him, I think, deserved to be above him. I think that was Jason RDA and Blades JDS. So, like, I get it.
But they're not showcasing these guys, and then they wonder why there's no interest in them. Guys, you gotta promote.
like even Maya. No one giving Maya a chance, but Maya got showcased because Maya was in a high profile fight against JoJo Calderwood. So we kind of had this momentum going with Maya. With Perez, it feels weird.
Looking at Alex Perez fought at UFC 220 on the early Fight Pass prelim, so one of the ones that wasn't on FX at the time or the pay-per-view. He won. He beat Shorty Torres by KO. The other two fighters that won on the early prelims, Zhang Weili and Chito Vera. And look where they are right now.
Crazy. Alex Perez.
Everyone else, and then everyone that won on the prelim card, Alex Perez, I'd still favor above them. Like, Pedro Munoz, Ricky Simone, Ricardo Ramos, Shaman Moraes, I would still put Alex Perez higher on the card than those guys right now.
Alex Perez, the first ever Contender Series fighter contract winner to earn a UFC title fight.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Right. That's good. That's so there huge. You go. That's huge.
That's what they should be selling. Dana White's like, everyone, go look at this. We got a crazy contender guy.
That's pretty much all they've been selling. I think that's their only selling point. Really,
who could be the next Alex Perez on this week's episode of Contender? Yeah. I, a little bit of the Prince of Positivity, but a little bit of skepticism here. Is there any chance that Shevchenko Maya is like an entertaining fight? There's really no nice way for me to ask this question. I don't expect.
Like, do you think it's gonna be like Carmouche? The Carmouche fight, the 25 minutes of something.
Boy, Maybe not that bad, because I think Maya at least has a specialty with which she can try to sort of impose her will. But I just don't think it's a specialty that she can impose her will on against Shevchenko.
So, I think it will be an exciting fight. I think it'll be one-sided whooping.
Okay. Dude,
I know Maya's been in some whatever fights, but she's also been in some really good fights too. Maya just rolled through JoJo. What was wrong with that? No one's rolled through JoJo like that since maybe Jessica Andrade, and we know how good she is. So I mean, and I don't know if you saw it, but Maya versus Porto when she won the Invicta belt was a great 25-minute fight. So when she's in the right matchup, she is very exciting for sure.
That's the thing. That's our problem.
She's no different from Valentina in the sense Valentina has been some crazy fun fights when she wins, but she's been in some super forgettable fights.
Correct. The second Nunez fight as well.
Yeah. She's very dominant.
Good card.
I just want to get Casey fired up.
listen. And I know she made way for the Calderwood fight. Jennifer Maya's weight is a story heading into next Saturday's card.
Don't get me excited. You know I love weigh-in drama. Love weigh-in drama. Like, get me started.
They want to bring Lauren. But Lauren Murphy has been discussed to be a potential alternate.
Is that happening?
I know that there's been conversations between the two. I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know. I know there's conversations between the two. But she should be ready. I mean, you do have Calvillo and you do have Chikagian, but I think Murphy is ahead of both of them right now in terms of like who would get the shot. Murphy would probably take it too, but you'll hear more about that tomorrow on MMAfighting.com when that interview drops solo.
Ooh.
Do we have anything else?
What do we got?
I think we're good, gentlemen. I think we're good. We've gone hour and 25 minutes.
My goodness.
Yeah,
everyone who sticks around, you guys are the best. I don't care if I sound like a broken record, and I say this every time I do one of these post-fight shows. You guys are the friggin' best. I love you guys.
He dropped the FR dash 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 word at the end. Dropped a friggin'. Sound like you're from Massachusetts, kid.
Oh, I know. Again, look, we're over to the monetization for this video.
Sound like Philip Rivers.
Man. You guys are talking sports. I'm lost, actually.
no one has any idea what's going on right now.
Alex, you know who Philip Rivers is?
Of course. He was the quarterback for the Chargers. He still is? No.
No, he's on the Indianapolis Colts now. He moved closer to you.
Yeah. Goodness me.
Okay.
If you need to throw a ball 30 yards, he's not your guy. But if you need a quick check down to a running back or a tight end for 3 yards, Philip Rivers is your guy.
Hall of Famer. Phil Rivers.
100%. I'm not going to argue that. 100% he is.
I've heard some people say it. Maybe
those people are stupid. Look who's in the NFL Hall of Fame. Anyone can make it.
Well, I mean, the numbers are okay. Anyway, sorry, Mike Rainison.
Wow. Wait,
what the heck?
Is there still a San Diego Chargers? Are they still a team?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. No.
They're the LA Chargers.
Oh, LA. I live in LA. I had no idea. This is news. Wait, are the Rams a team? Casey,
they're not in LA.
What?
They're in Englewood.
Right. Oh. I can see. I'm like, what? Oh, there they are.
look out your window. They're playing a game right now.
They are. They're sharing the stadium with the Rams.
I had no clue. I just thought there was a bunch of traffic outside for no reason. All right, this is all
small world. Small world. You know the town you live in as a football team.
Did you know the Raiders are in Las Vegas now?
Why?
What?
What do you mean?
Because they moved there.
They
moved.
They're the Las Vegas Raiders. That's why they built.
That big turdy golden turd thing. Yeah, on the side of the freeway.
No. The golden turd is the T-Mobile Arena. Stadium is a big black one. It looks awesome. It actually looks really cool.
We have a comment, which I have to acknowledge. And this is going to start another half an hour discussion, by the way. Jeremiah K, professional chess. Better than the NFL. Shout out to the Queen's Gambit, Anya Taylor. What a show that.
I still got a couple episodes watched. I'm not spoilers. Nothing. No spoilers.
I'm not saying it's my favorite show. It is a really good show. And anyone who has Netflix, there's no reason not to watch it, is what I'm saying. Check that out, The Queen's Gambit. If you love chess, which like Jeremiah K in our comments, then go for it.
See that chess board back there? If any of you YouTube commenters want to challenge me, I got a board right there. We'll play. Don't come over here. I'm just joking. You don't know where I live.
Before we sign off, fun facts, my younger brother Miguel is a ranked chess player in New England. He's unbelievable. Oh,
I can end this on an MMA note. Wait, your brother's a ranked chess player?
in New England. Yeah. He travels to other states to play chess.
Oh, and gets money for it.
Yeah,
it's not exactly a brain trust out there. So I mean, that can't be that hard.
Yeah,
so
you know, the birthplace of America.
How dare you?
That explains a lot.
Yeah, how's that turning out?
MMA talk, guys. MMA show. Come on. Did you see Angela Hill's connection to the show?
Tell me more.
You didn't see this, Angela Hill. So Angela Hill. So there's two twins on the show. One of the brother. One of the actors who plays one of the brothers used to train at the same gym as Angela Hill. I think actually he knew her before she became a pro. And she said on Twitter that actually he was someone who encouraged her to go into professional MMA. So if you watch, so there is an MMA connection to the Queen's Gambit. Apparently one of the actors is a friend of Angela Hill's and it was a part of her career.
And my connection to chess is I joined the chess club in high school because I needed an extracurricular activity because that's what my high school counselor told me if I want to go to college.
And look how you turned up.
And now you're here in a virtual room with us and all of these people. Paid off for you, sir. Your chess skills led to greatness. And here we are. And there's the music. Oh, by the way,
They're playing us off.
For those who want to hear more from Chaos Williams, you'll be able to hear from him on Thursday. What the heck? He'll be there. Along with a couple of former UFC world champs as well. So the lineup is loading up in a fun and exciting way. So get ready for that. As UFC Vegas 14 in the books for now, we'll be talking more about it on Between the Links. Of course, on to the next one, which will probably drop in podcast form tomorrow. We're going to get those out early for all you wonderful folks. But that's it for Casey, AK, Jose. I am Mike Heck. Good night, everybody.
AK, wave, AK. Oh, yeah, I like that. I like it. It's good.
Brandon on Brandon.
Freak.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase, every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval, terms apply.